Hello, and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for inviting me and allowing me to be a part of this. So we're in this series, Signpost People in Everyday Life, and today we're going to talk about the faithful shepherd, a faithful shepherd, and Jesus as our shepherd. And so first, I think we have a photo of my family. Now, this is about 10 years old. The little one is almost an adult, but here we are, one son, three daughters. They keep me in line, and they tease me as needed, and they have my heart. Much of my mental, emotional makeup is connected deeply to these special people that God has given me. So there they are. And we just want to greet right now those who are worshiping with us online. We're happy that you're here today. And so last week, we know that Isaiah shared about Peter and his exchange with Jesus. Jesus was, in some ways, helping him come back to him because he had denied him. But he was also giving him a charge to be a good and faithful shepherd. And so, and then just a little bit later in Acts, we see Peter preaching with great strength and with the Holy Spirit who falls on all the people. So today, what we're going to just talk about first is John 10, and if we can go there. And we see that Jesus was responding to the leaders who were accusing him of things. He had just helped the blind man and healed him. And when he did that, they were all asking, who did this? What did you do? And they were accusing Jesus. And so in that passage, it says, like the title of it says, spiritual blindness. And so when Jesus is responding, he starts with a story like he does. And so if we could stand for the reading of the word. So John 10, 1 through 15. I tell you the truth, everyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we see that this is a complex and layered story. He's attending to many things in the word in this story that he's telling. But what I want to focus on today is knowing Christ and being shaped by him. So in the scriptures we just looked at, in 10:4, he says, "They know my voice." He says in 14, "I know my own sheep and they know me." And he says, "They listen to my voice." So, but he kind of sneaks in this little part in 10:10, and he says, "Jesus gives life in all fullness," or a rich and satisfying life. But you see that that fulfilled life, that life that was meant to be lived, is coming from knowing Christ and walking with him and listening to his voice. And so I selected this illustration, and it's a painting from an Impressionist artist. And I selected it really because when we start a Christian life, when we're made right with the Father and we're brought into his kingdom and his presence, and we're brought in as sons and daughters, we know him a little bit. We're taking a leap of faith. We're beginning to trust him. And so as we begin to walk with him, and as we are sanctified, and as we begin to really know him, the picture gets clearer and clearer, and this picture sort of emerges, and we realize who Christ is as we begin to walk with him faithfully over time, and we are shaped by him. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how do we as humans know things? How do we understand and experience things? And a little bit in philosophy or in research, we talk about ways of knowing. And there are many kinds of ways of knowing, but I'm just going to focus on three of those today: authority, experience, and divine inspiration. And so authority in everyday life may be someone is a painter and then takes an apprentice to learn how to paint well, whether it's paint on a house or really making beautiful paintings. Or an authority could be someone who's walked in life in a difficult space, and it's like yours, and you want to come to them and say, "How did you overcome this space?" Or, "How did you work through this difficulty?" So that would be an example of an authority. An experience. You know, we know people in our lives, you know, our families for so long, and we know those people. We know how they're going to maybe respond. We know them well. I'll just give this example of my father. He's 82. If your car is broken, or your plumbing is broken, or your heart is broken, he will come and help you anytime. And he does this still today, regularly, for anyone who meets him. The other experience I wanted to talk about was just when you're getting to know people. So we have life groups here. I know many churches do that. And what's so beautiful about coming together with people is you learn to know them in different ways. So you, in life group, we kind of, you know, talk a little bit and have light, open space where we're talking about our lives and things like that. But the really beautiful, there are a lot of beautiful parts about it, but I would say one thing that I love is when we get together and we talk about the sermon, because you start to hear how people are processing what is being said up here and what is being shared with the church. And then their responses, sometimes they straighten me out. Sometimes they make me think of something in a very different way, because we all have different experiences in our lives. And so we're getting to know each other in those parts. When we pray for each other, you know, as I think about all of the different life groups that meet every week, we are praying for things like family, for our spouses, for our marriages, for our jobs, for other people that we're concerned about. We're praying for all these things, for healing. I mean, in our life group alone, all these different things happening in our lives. And so it is a beautiful way to experience getting to know one another. And so just think about that. You know, on Sunday morning, we're coming together and gathered, and the presence of the Lord is here. but we begin to know each other well and deeply and intimately as we spend time together, even like road trips and, you know, other things, camping together. You get to know each other, right? So, and then finally, just to talk about the Lord and Him actually entering into time and space on the earth, right? He comes in, and we see throughout the Bible that He is talking to different people in different ways, to individuals. He's giving them direction. He's giving them promises. So sometimes He talks through dreams. Sometimes He talks through visions. Sometimes He talks through a burning bush or a donkey or whatever. He has lots of ways to talk to His people. To go back to authority, one of the ways that He talks to us, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. He speaks to us through Scripture. This is the story to us about Him. Okay? So, divine inspiration. So, we'll just share, as we're talking about people, just signpost people in everyday life. I just want to say that the Lord has spoke to me over, since I was little in my life. But one of the ways that He speaks to me is through dreams. And so I have dreams. I have dreams in full color, conversation, everything. Not all of them mean anything. But a few of them, on occasion, they are a spiritual dream. And I've learned to think about it, listen. Sometimes it's just pray for this person or understand that you're worried about this thing and just pray. But in the summer of 1998, it's kind of back there, my husband and I were praying for our family and just direction from the Lord. We were taking the summer and just really seeking out what the Lord had for us. And I had this dream, and I, in the morning, woke up, told Him all of the details of the dream, and He said, "Deborah, there's something going on here." So we decided to just pray and sort of wait, and things started, different people would confirm that there was something in this, even without telling them about the dream. They just started confirming certain things. So basically, God was speaking to us to start a school and that it would bring life to many. I mean, that was a simple message, that we needed to start a school and that it would bring life to many. So at that time, He gave us this guiding verse, and it connects well with John 10, but it's 2 Peter 1, 2 through 7. And again, the context here in this scripture is that Peter is talking to a new and baby fledgling church. He's caring for the people, and he sees that there are false prophets and false teachers and people that are telling them things that are not true. And those false teachers are telling them these things because they want personal gain, or they want power, or they want these things, and they don't have a heart of a shepherd that would sacrifice for their sheep. So he says it multiple times in 2 Peter that that you want a sacrificial shepherd. And so let's just read it. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 7. "May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. So the point is, for the school, this verse was given for the school, but it has expanded into all areas of my life. It's basically saying, add to your faith, grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord by his divine power. By his divine power. This is only through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, changing, transforming, and shaping us. So all of these things are added, you know, moral excellence, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Isn't that what we are to be marked by, is our love for others? But we have to let it grow in us and work in us and shape us. And so the word, though, here for knowledge, Peter picks a specific word, epinosis. And so it says personal knowledge through relationship. And so what I really like about this is when you see epi, it means precise, correct, accurate, and mature. Do you know that you can hear knowledge or people's truth and it can be false knowledge, false truth, okay? And so what he's saying here is when you know the Lord, when you follow after God the Father, God the Son, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, this is where you have real, true, and accurate knowledge. And the picture emerges more and more. It's shaped out over the course of our lives and trying to just live lives of trusting the Father and lives of faith. And so I have been a person, I am a person who's really sought out the truth my whole life. Just when talking to people, sometimes saying, are they telling me the truth? Is this right? Or when reading a lot of different types of people, just, are they telling me the truth? Is this right? And just asking that question over and over again. And then one day, you know, I don't know when, I heard this statement, truth is not a what, but a who. And when, you know, and of course, the Bible confirms all of that statement, but just that truth is not a what, but a who. And what happened in that space is that it kind of settled something in me, and it helped me to go back to, okay, but what is Jesus, and who is he, and what does he do with people? And that just helped me go back, like, I am not thinking right. This person is coming from the wrong perspective, right? And so it really settled something in my heart. And as we've been learning in church, just seeing rightly through the eyes of Jesus, as we spend time with him, as we allow him to do the good work that he does in us, we begin to see rightly, and he helps us. And I'm so thankful for that because I need a lot of help in so many ways. And so C.S. Lewis has a book that he wrote, Till We Have Faces. A lot of you have read it. I know if we have any students, they've read it in here, if they were seniors or juniors. But this book, C.S. Lewis wrote it much later in his life, after he had been a Christian for a lot of years, and he worked on it for a long time. So he basically took an old ancient myth and he retold it with the Christian story. But what he does in this book is there are three sisters, the king, they're the daughters of a cruel and mean king. And so they experience a lot of difficulties. And one of the daughters is telling the story, and her name is Arul, and she is making an accusation against the gods, the whole story, telling how unjust they've been, how horrible they've been, how they've taken everything away from her, how just all of these things. And so at one point in the book, she begins to be in a really dark place. She's been in a lot of dark places, but in this place, she's in a very dark place, and she comes before the gods, and they start looking at her book of accusations, and they start reading it, just all the things she's telling them about who they are. And she begins to realize, everything I ever thought and I ever believed about things in my life, it was not true. Her perspective is completely transformed because she is now in the place of life. And Lewis says this several times in the book, this statement, holy places are dark places. He says it in several different ways, but that's the line, holy places are dark places. And I would say those are the times when we dig deep as Christians and we learn who Christ is to us. We really learn who he is. And that is the transformational space. Through the trials and difficulties of life, we learn to know him. And I think we see similar things with the disciples and when they were walking with Jesus. You know, they only walked with Jesus for 3 years. That's a really short time. Like, I've been a friend of my husband since the late 1980s, okay? I know him. I mean, he has shaped me. We've shaped each other. But only 3 years. Think about that, like people in your life right now, if you only get to be with them for 3 years. But he taught them everything about life, and it was the way that he interacted with individuals. It was the way that he interacted with crowds. It was the way that he interacted with them. You know, they would, a lot of times, they would come away and he was interacting with someone and they would be whispering to each other, what was he saying? Why did he talk to her? Or why did he talk? I mean, they were questioning all the time, but then he would come back, and as they would talk with him, they were being shaped and learning from him. So it's a special time. I mean, sometimes he confounded them and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And then we see when he actually was crucified, they scattered everywhere. They thought they knew him. They thought they knew what was going on, but it was difficult for them. But when he, of course, came back and talked to them, he brought them in, and it was a blessing. But it was just a short time that they were with him. So I would say that in my life, just thinking about the ways that we know him, there are so many, you know, in the Bible, there are so many names of God and who he is, and we see all these things. But I would say personally, these are the places that he's shown me to be just that he's provider, healer, deliverer, comforter, redeemer, restorer, and a friend. And just in a few of those places, my son, when he was little, he had a serious digestive problem, and he had a colostomy for a while. And when you're a mom, you're trying to figure out and help this little boy. Patrick, I love you if you're listening, but anyway, you know, it's a sad situation, and you feel really worried about all kinds of things. But he's a lovely, big, strong man now. So it's fine. But the Lord brought healing in that place and comfort to me as a mom, which I know as moms out here, your feelings for your kids. And then I would say, like, restorer, redeemer, there have been serious breaches in relationships. You know, all of us who are here in different ways, and I thought some of them would never be repaired. And the Lord has brought restoration to those things. And it might have taken a really long time. But God lives outside of time, so he just does things in his way, okay? The other, as a deliverer, personal strongholds in my own life that I never thought could be corrected or healed, and he delivered. And he can do it for all of us. I know it. I believe it. Provider in a million different ways, but I'll just tell you a little story. More recently, my husband and I had to take responsibility for our work in Kenya. And I was thinking, nope, I'm not going to do this. Can't do it. We have a whole lot of other things we're doing. But the Lord said, what about the loaves and the fish? And I was like, you know, you can take my little and do something with it. And he's miraculously taken care of that work for like 6 years now. Wow. So I'm just telling you, he can be the provider. Yep. All right. So let us continue with our story. Do you guys know the rest of the story by Paul Harvey? That makes me too old. But anyway, I will tell you my story. So I told you in 1998, he gave us the dream. But it took until 2002 to actually start the school. So that's a time period of 4 years, right? So if some of you he has given direction to and dreams to and things like that, he's working on it. Right. You just be faithful in little tiny steps. He's going to take care of it. But so during that time of preparing to start the school, my husband resigned from Bell Helicopter, where he was a mechanical engineer for 18 years, running a research group, and said, "Yes, honey, I'll jump in and be with you and do this school thing." And neither one of us, we didn't have education backgrounds, okay? So, I did some things to do that during that time, but that's not what our, degrees were in, our first degree, okay? So, and he said, "We're going to do this thing." And so now, 2002, fast forward to today, we've been serving in the school. We've experienced joys and sorrows. We've experienced challenges and great victories. It's always a work in progress. You always want to work on doing better and caring better and doing all of those things. But the Lord has been so faithful in all of it. And we have not, he said, just start a school and it's going to bring life to many. Well, we have helped other schools get started. We've traveled all over the U.S. just encouraging school leaders. We've helped schools go through their processes to become legitimized. This week, I had two friends who wanted to have dinner because they said, "We're going to start a school. And what do we need to do?" And so you don't know, how the promises or the dreams that he gives to your life, you don't know how far-reaching they will be when you start something, and you just say yes. Sometimes, when you're a young person, at that time in my life, I was just a bit ignorant, thought, "Oh, we can do these things," and which is kind of good, because you just jump out and you do things, but you learn a lot along the way. And so the Lord continually surprises me by his faithfulness and his work. And I would say, this is continuing the story. I don't know what the Lord has out there. There are things right now. I need to see who he is in those places and spaces. I need to see another part of him or come back to and remember those things that he is. And I'm sure all of us are that way. And so just to wrap everything up and remind us, what does Jesus say in John 10? He says, he gives life in all fullness. That's what, we want to live the life that God created us for. First, to worship and just enjoy him as a friend, but also to do the things on the earth that he has prepared for us to do and be involved in those things. And just thinking about that he knows us. He knows us. He knows our imperfections, our flaws, our failures, but he knows those beautiful things that he planted in us. And he can help those things come to fruition. And one thing I would say is that learning to really listen to his voice. You have to take time to listen to his voice. And sometimes he says things you don't like. And you don't want to do. So you have to be ready to be okay with that. Sometimes he tells me things. It takes me a little bit of time before I think I'm getting better the older I'm getting, because I'm like, it's easier if I just do it. Right? So, but please, be open to listening. Take some time in your life. Everybody's telling you all these kinds of things. You're just on your phone and they're saying this and they're trying to teach you this and tell you this. And most of it's not very good. So take some time just to be with the Father and let him just bring life to you and just soak in that good word that is true and right, that brings freedom to your life and to your heart and your spirit. right now, we're going to take some time. So if you guys will stand, the band will come. We'll get ready to receive what the Lord wants to just do in our spirits. Just thank you, Father, for each one of these that is here, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the answer. If they are asking questions, who are you? Who is the Father? Who can the Father be to me? Lord, I pray that they would receive those answers, Father, that you would show them the path. Just each of you today, whoever needs prayer for anything that we've just talked about, please feel free to come up and be prayed for. God is in this place. His presence is here. He loves you. If you're in a dark place and you need to come, please, where we are gathered together, he is there in the midst. So please come. Take this time. Just trust him.